Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
So what I wanted to do is, so all over the world, there are messages, I'm sure, are being preached about the resurrection. And I was trying to get y'all to say, he got up, the way that my pastor used to say it when you get to that part. I don't know if y'all ever been into one of those churches and the pastor get to that point and say, early on Sunday morning, he got up. My pastor used to leap like this with all power in his hands. Well, the children helped us preach that Easter message. But if you know anything about me, I don't like preaching messages just based upon certain seasons. I will preach whatever it is that God has given me. So I want to go back to Friday. Y'all all right with that? We know Jesus got up. Amen. So we're not sad. This is not, you know, Monday, Thursday and all of that. So this is, you know, Resurrection Sunday. We know what happened. Like the young man said, there was an angel sitting on the tomb. I mean, they just preached that. They preached it, didn't they? Right. They shared the resurrection story. They kept wanting to get to the resurrection. It's like, but that's good. That is so good. Right. But I want to take us back to the cross a little bit. And I want us to talk about the cross. And so the title of this message here is called The Sixth Hour. And there's a moment when Jesus is on the cross, and it says when it was about, and we'll look at the scripture in a moment, it was about the sixth hour or midday. And that's what I want to talk about. What was going on with Jesus during that period of time as he was hanging on the cross? But I don't want us to just get stuck at what was happening to Jesus, because he got up eventually. He rose from the dead. But we are still going through some areas of our life, and there are some areas of our life that we might call the sixth hour or that midday. What is that? So the morning time, I love this. I was doing a study about the different times of prayer that our Jewish brothers and sisters practice. There's morning prayer, there's midday prayer, and then there's evening prayer. And you may practice this as well, right? So you get up in the morning time and you spend time with God. Maybe you're feeling excited, and maybe you're getting your exercise on, and you're pumped up and you're ready to take on the day, and you're really ready. And then the evening time, we'll talk about midday in a moment, but the evening time, you're happy, hopefully you're happy to be going home from work or whatever it is, but you're realizing that, oh my gosh, I just made it through this long day, and I get a chance to kind of recline and reset and refresh myself. But the moment sometimes of the greatest struggle in our day or in our life is the midday. It's where the morning has almost faded a little bit, and maybe I'm losing sight of my focus, or my energy level is starting to decline, and I might need a few drink these Red Bulls or whatever it is, or coffee or whatever it is, and you need a boost. It's that midday period that oftentimes we struggle with, but not just day to day. Are you in a midday experience in your personal life? Where maybe you heard God say something very exciting. It was morning. God refreshed you, rejuvenated you. Life has been great for you. But all of a sudden, you're finding yourself in this middle place right now. You're not quite at the place of restoration. You're not quite at the place of beginning. You're right in the middle right now. And this is where Jesus was as he was on the cross. It was no longer the morning time as he was standing before Pontius Pilate and being questioned. It wasn't the morning time where he was being scourged and he was being beat. Now he's hanging on a cross, but it's not yet time for him to die. He is in that middle place. Have you ever been through something and you're just like, Lord, just end this? Some of you might be sitting here and you said, Lord, just end this. Have you ever had suicidal thoughts? Where you were going through so much pain and agony, and you couldn't get down from the cross, and you couldn't, you had to wait. The same way that Jesus, he had to wait. He couldn't just get down from the cross. He had to experience what's called the sixth hour or midday. And he had to go through that so that when we go through these experiences in our lives, we know that on the other side, there is coming a resurrection from this. But before the resurrection, you got to go through the 6 hour. Have you ever experienced a 6 hour? It's not your morning. You can't lay down in bed yet. Have you ever been a place you just like, I just want to go home? And some people say that in the natural as well as the spiritual. Sometimes you're just like, I'm tired of being at work. And sometimes in life, you know, I'm just so sick and tired. God, I just want to go home. Because I'm not excited like I used to be in the morning. I'm in this middle place. Middle place is tough. But what did Jesus do in the middle place? In the middle place, there's people saying words to him. Oh, if you are the Son of God, why don't you get yourself down from there? Or why don't you save yourself and save us as well? There's all this conversation and Jesus is saying things. Son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your... I mean, he's doing all of these different things in the midst of his midday. So he's not just hanging on the cross, just letting the time pass by. He's still doing stuff in the middle of his midday. Can I challenge us? That if you're in that middle place right now in your life, don't stop doing the things that you know you should be doing. There were certain things that Jesus had to do. I thirst. To fulfill prophecy. In his midday. And there are certain things that God is challenging us to do. To fulfill our purpose in our midday. Amen. So it's not the morning, and I can't go to bed yet. I'm in this middle place. And if you know anything about the cross, it was a shameful experience. I know sometimes we show Jesus hanging up there, and he looks okay. But the reality was the purpose of putting people up on a cross, up on a high mountain called Golgotha, was to disgrace them so that people could walk past and laugh at them and look at them. Have you ever been in a midday experience and you realize that you are high and lifted up and people are looking at you? It feels like there's nothing you could do in this moment but trust God. You have to trust that resurrection is coming. You have to trust that when this is done, that your heavenly Father is not going to leave you in the tomb, but his love is going to raise you up from whatever it is that you're going through in life. And that is the hope that Jesus had. And that is the reason, besides you and I, that he was dying for. That is the reason how he can hang on a cross and hold himself up. I remember hearing a study that the pain was so excruciating that he had to keep pushing himself up just so that he can breathe. Because he was hanging. There were nails through the bottom part of his hand. So what kept him hanging there besides, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, is that Jesus knew that after this excruciating experience, then I'm going to be buried, but my Father will not leave me there. He is going to raise me up on the third day. Amen. And we have to hold on to that. So if you're going through a midday, or maybe, guess what? Can I whisper this to y'all? And if you're listening online, I'll say this as well. It's not really going to be a whisper because I'm going to say it the same tone that I'm saying it right now. Everyone in life is going to experience a midday. We're going to experience a morning, we're going to experience a midday, and we're going to experience an evening. And then when we get done with the evening, guess what's coming? Morning. And after morning, guess what's coming? Midday. So if you're listening, you're holding on and you're saying, I don't want to go through anything in life. Let it go. Amen? And sometimes it's a harsh reality. If you are here today and you gave your life to Jesus Christ not too long ago and somebody told you that, oh man, you know, everything is going to be as if it's a resurrection experience after you give your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus had to die, he had to be buried, and then he had to be resurrected. And so if he had to experience that in life, we have to experience the same things, maybe not the same exact, but we are going to experience a midday. Amen? Some people say, well, darn, preacher, I came to hear about the resurrection. You know, you ever hear this phrase, Sunday is coming? Well, Sunday coming meaning that we not at Sunday yet. And that means that we're somewhere before Sunday. So today we're at Friday. And what is your Friday looking like? Anybody ever ask you that? What's your Friday looking like? You got any open time? Maybe God is asking us that today. What's your afternoon looking like? What's your midday looking like? You got any time for me? Midday is not an exclusion from God. God is not standing far off looking at us and wondering, I just want to see how you're going to make it through that. He is with you. He is with you all the way through everything. He is with you. Jesus had to experience, my God, why have you forsaken me, so that we don't have to be forsaken? He became sin who knew no sin so that we can become the righteousness of God. Praise God. So he experienced spiritually things so that we don't have to experience certain things spiritually. Amen. So go through this midday with God. The 6 hour. I Googled the 6 hour because I was looking for some images and a lot of weird stuff came up. So don't do that. I think it's a group called the 6 hour or something like that. So the 6 hour is this halfway point. I mean, can I just ask this question again? Have you ever been on this journey with God and it was morning and you're excited and you're like, oh man, we're going to do this, God. We're going to do this. And you're going, and then you get to this midway point and you just like, if I knew this is where we were going to be, I wouldn't have started this journey with you, God. But just as God encouraged Abram or Abraham, he kept prompting him on by faith. I know you don't have any children yet, Abraham, but come on, keep moving, because I promise that you're going to be the father of many nations. I need you to keep moving. And that's what God is saying to some of us right now. Do not stop midway. Don't. This is not a place. This is not a place for you to lay down and decide that I'm just going to rest a little bit here. No, you rest in God. And resting God does not mean we stop. Come on, you ever hear, be still and see the salvation of the Lord? It don't mean just don't do nothing. The Lord told me to be still, so I'm not moving. God is always about moving, because God operates according to his kingdom and not according to our timeline. Do not stop midway. Y'all hear that? I hope that that rings within someone's soul. Do not stop midway. Can I say this? You are not there yet. Somebody, you can hear exactly what I'm saying, and you're like, okay, you're not there yet. Are we there yet? No! You're not there yet. Listen to this. Midway is often when there is a spiritual shift that takes place. So morning, I'm spending time with God. So you can look at this as your day, or you can look at this as your life and your seasons. But morning, I'm spending time with God. I'm reading the word. I'm encouraging people. I'm sending scriptures to different people and all of that. I'm refreshed. And I'm like, I'm about to do the things that the Lord has called me to do today. And that's morning. And that's great. And we embrace that. But midday, something shifts spiritually. And if not careful, we will go on a spiritual decline midday. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Midday can also be the busiest time of the day, because I'm talking around 12 p.m., 1 p.m., 2 p.m., 3 p.m. It is before the sun sets. So midday is when the sun is at its highest peak, but it's before the sun has set. Have you experienced this in your life? It is the moment when it is the hottest. It is the most intense time. And God is saying, in those moments, be careful that you don't experience a spiritual decline. Listen, and be careful, this came to me yesterday, that all I got to do is get to evening. I'm not going to pray now, because once I get to evening, I'm really going to pray. I'm not going to read my Bible now, because once I get to my house, I'm really going to dive into the word. I'm not going to praise God, because once I get home, or maybe tomorrow morning, and I believe God shared this with me yesterday, is please remind us, don't treat midday like this. Oh, I just got to make it through this, because if I could just make it through this, then I can get to that place of reset. You need to reset yourself midday. Man, I pray that this is making sense. I'm going to try to repeat this as much as I can. Do not, double negative, do not do anything midday. Are y'all following? Thinking all I got to do is make it to evening. Midday begins a spiritual decline. What does that mean? My intimacy with God that was high here, life is just bringing me down. And I can't say, just hold on until evening. Just hold on until morning. No, you better do something now. Amen? So this is for all of us that says, well, right now, I got to get that report done. So I don't even have a moment to lift up a prayer unto the Lord at 12 o'clock or whatever your midday is. Listen, because your shift may be different. You may work a different shift. What is your midday in your shift? Do not wait. Please hear what I'm saying. Don't wait until the end of your shift before you spend time with God. Even if you got to squeeze in a little bit here and there, tap into the presence of the Lord. Amen. It's the busiest time, right? So you can say, I am going to read my Bible at 12 o'clock. And then your boss drops something on your desk at 11:59. And now you're sitting at your desk, eating your lunch, working on a report. And you ain't got no time to spend with God. And God is saying, you got to squeeze in some time with me. It may not be what you expect. It, but you have to do something. Do not depend upon making it to evening. Amen. Pause. Connect with God. So all of that is in midday. Because this spiritual decline, oftentimes we don't see it. And so this is us in the morning. Did y'all see the change? But sometimes we don't see that change. You see the change? And before we know it, this is where we are spiritually. Now, this isn't a day or in a season of life. And God is reminding us, do not just sit there and let our relationship with God look like this. Are y'all hearing me? because sometimes we think we think this is where we are. You know why? Because sometimes things are going good in our life and we equate happy moments with spiritual high. We're like, how are you? But we don't realize that on the inside, we're fading. And this is what Jesus was experiencing on the cross. As Jesus was hanging on the cross, and we'll look at these scriptures, it says it is now about the sixth hour, midday. And darkness enveloped the whole land and earth until the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. While the sun's light faded or was darkened, and the curtain of the Holy of Holies of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And with these words, I think this word is interesting, he expired. Wow. So I want to look at this verse here a little bit and see if we can pull out of this midday experience and what happens midday. It was about the sixth hour or midday, and darkness. Look at this. So Jesus, this is Jesus hanging on the cross. This is the moment that he is hanging on the cross. He just had the conversation with the two thieves, and this is where we are. And Jesus hanging on a cross, it's about the sixth hour, midday. It's midday. So that means that the sun is either around 12, 1, 2, 3 o'clock. The sun should be at its highest point, but in the midst of that, darkness envelops the whole land and earth. And not just in a brief moment, it says almost for 3 hours, darkness enveloped the whole land and earth. So almost from noon until 3 o'clock. So we talked about this, the sixth hour. Jesus, what was he doing on the cross? And this is where I want to encourage us that in the midst of our midday, and this is kind of going back to some things that Jesus said on the cross. He was having a conversation with his Father. So this is encouraging to us that in the midst of my midday, and this is before the darkness came, but in the midst of my midday, I'm still talking to God. I'm still having a conversation with my Heavenly Father. We should never get to the point where we say, I don't have time for that. I'm sure we've never done that before. God, I don't have time for that right now. God, I don't have time to pray. God, I don't have time to read. God, I don't have time to listen to worship music. God, I need some rugged music because I'm feeling some kind of way. I know none of y'all listen to rugged, whatever that may be, translate to you. The type of music that make you say, I wish they would mess with me. And God is saying, you need to listen to the music that you listen to in the morning. What's your playlist look like? Like, y'all ever hear this thing called algorithms, right? So do you realize that different systems, music, whatever it is, shows, I know y'all know what I'm about to say, but I'm gonna say it anyway, will begin to feed you things based upon what you engage into during certain times of day. So if in the morning time, I'm all praise Jesus, you know, hallelujah, but then midday, I'm pressing something else, guess what's going to be fed to me? And then in the afternoon, I got my smooth jazz on with my... And then we're wondering why we are on a spiritual decline. The reason is I'm literally feeding myself and listen, and even telling the systems around me what to feed me based upon where I am during the day.
We have trained our environment to dictate to us what we think we need during certain points. Wow. Check your playlist. Look, tomorrow around the afternoon time, check it. What's going to start popping up on your feed is based upon what you have been feeding yourself. Are y'all with me? So Jesus did not just talk to the Father when he was hanging out with the disciples. Have you ever done that? You're around people who are called believers of Jesus Christ, so you talk like a believer of Jesus Christ when you're around them. But what do we do when we're hanging up on the cross? What's coming out of our mouth when it's midday? Are we talking the oracles of God? Are we singing the praises of God? Are we lifting up those hymns? Or can you not find any godly thing on my tongue when I'm midday? But Jesus, even while hanging on a cross, he says, Father, come on, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, and I used to struggle with this. I'm like, they know what they're doing. But what he was saying is that they don't understand the magnitude of what it is that they're doing. They don't get it. And sometimes we don't get it. Can I say this? You don't always have to get it to do the thing that God wants you to do. So if you are a calculated type of person, you are going to struggle with this walk with God. If everything has to make sense to you, you are going to struggle. Because it doesn't make sense for the Son of God to have to hang up on a cross for people who are saying, crucify him. That just does not make sense. So it won't always make sense. So you got to do it by faith. You got to trust God. Well, I don't feel like singing or listening to praise and worship songs during this moment of the day. I want to listen to something that's kind of got a little bit more kick to it. Well, you better find a praise song that got some kick to it. There's plenty of them out here. And guess what? If you can't find one, make one up. I love Jesus. Woo-hoo-hoo. I love Jesus. Hey, I love Jesus. Like, what song is that? I just made it up. If it doesn't make sense, don't try all day to make it make sense. And this is not, oh man, can I ask questions? Can I explore? That's all fine and dandy. But if you realize that you are going on a decline in regards to your relationship with God because things don't make sense and you're on this journey of trying to figure it all out, you need to stop. And you need to trust God. Amen? Faith is the substance of things and the evidence of things. Oh, so there's some things I ain't gonna see. But I gotta have confidence that it is there. Amen? It is now about the 6 hour midday, and darkness envelop the whole land and earth until the 9th hour, about 3 o'clock. It is one thing for me to be in the 6th hour, but for Jesus, and maybe you experience it as well. So if the 6 hour or midday, whether we're talking day or seasons of life, can be this moment of a lot of activity and spiritual decline, and I'm trying to make it to this place of restoration, but now here comes darkness. So have you ever just been naturally tired? Have you ever just been life, just you know, I'm just tired, just life. Have you ever just life situations happening? But then in the midst of it, it seems as if the enemy tries to take advantage of the place that you're in, and here comes darkness. This is what was happening to Jesus. It is enough for Jesus just to be hanging on a cross. But why does darkness need to come? Why in the world does the entire earth need to be enveloped in darkness? You may ask that question. I'm already going through this. I'm already going through that. I already got this going on. Why in the world now would darkness even creep in as well? I believe that this darkness is meant to cut off our revelation or our insight from God. Darkness at times comes in our life to get us to stop seeing forward. And this darkness was coming upon Jesus. The last opportunity to get him to abort. If I can get Jesus to say, you know what, I done had enough of this. And I've been waiting for this moment. Can you imagine, Jesus? I've been waiting for this moment to take these nails out of my hand and to call down some angels this whole time. If I can walk on water, I don't need to be hung up here by no nails. I can just step on down from here. And this darkness was coming to say, this is my last chance to get him to shift from his assignment. You ever felt that? Where you feel like you're fighting and you don't know where the hits are coming from because it's dark, but God keeps whispering to you, trust me. Trust me. Do not abort. Do not take this into your own hands. And that's what the enemy wanted. If you are the Son of God, he was coming right back to this place. If you are the Son of God, do something about this darkness. And Jesus decided not to do anything. So not only am I in this midday, but darkness, which is literally causing my sight to become dim, is not just coming down. It is like a curtain is closing. I use this example many times, and this is where we have to watch it for our personal lives. Have you ever sat in a room and it was light outside, but you were so into Chicago PD, Chicago Med, I know y'all love those, Chicago Fire, these are my favorite shows, FBI, and whatever other ones, watching, you were so into watching the replays, Ronnie's gonna like this one, watching the replays of the Philadelphia Eagles over and over, you were so into that, that you begin to watch it while the sun was up, but you didn't realize that while you were sitting there, the sun was going down. And it took someone else to walk in the room and say this, why is it so dark in here? Because we didn't realize in that moment, and maybe spiritually in our life, that the curtain was closing. Because we did not stop to spend time with God. We just sat there. And darkness is enveloping us. But Jesus does not just sit there. And what can we learn from him? And it says, while the sun's light faded, and this means that the light that was available began to be taken away. And can I encourage someone, not only don't let the curtains close, don't let the sunlight just be taken away. Have you ever blamed everybody and everything on the reason why you are not joyous? I have. You know, if I had this, God, I would have more joy. If I had this, I'll have more joy. If I had this, I'll have more joy. And God is saying right now, don't let your joy be taken away. And if you're looking for someone to give it back to you, you're looking to the wrong places. Look to God. And it says, while the sunlight faded or was being taken away or was darkened and the curtain of the Holy of Holies of the temple was torn in two. I believe that these two verses that you see on the screen were happening at the same time. I believe that the darkness was coming, and while the darkness was coming, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And I believe that when he cried that the curtains of the temple began to be torn. And so what can we learn in the midst of this? Don't just sit there and not say anything. If you know that the sun is fading, if you know that the curtains are being closed, if you know that it's getting dark, don't just sit there and not say anything. And if you notice, I didn't say not do anything. We need to open up our mouth and say something. The same way that Jesus did. But what do you say? What are we supposed to say, Pastor Will? You better say, God, help me. God, I need you. God, your word says, hallelujah, open up your mouth and say something. Because that's what the enemy wants. If for us to sit in a dark room, have you ever been there? Don't talk to me. Right? We don't want to hear nothing. Have you ever been at a place where you don't even want anybody to encourage you? I don't want to hear that right now. And this is the reason why I'm saying that we have to be the ones to open up our mouth, because we believe what we are saying more than what anybody else is saying. And somebody can say to us, you're going to be all right. You're going to make it through this. God is with you. God's got your back. God's got a plan for you. A ministry is going to come out of this. God's going to do great things. You just wait until this time next year. And you can sit there and say, you know what? You don't know. You don't know. But when you begin to open up your mouth and speak to yourself, that's when things begin to shift. And that's when atmospheres and attitudes begin to shift. And sometimes we're sitting in dark rooms and we're waiting for someone to come rescue us. And sometimes God will send them. But sometimes in the midst of the curtains closing and the sun fading, we've got to do like Jesus said, Father, it is into your hands that I deposit my life. I commit my spirit. God, I release, I surrender all to you. Listen, Jesus is saying, I will not let this darkness overtake me. He had to open up his mouth. And when he opened his mouth, I believe that the curtain that's in the Holy of Holies, that separated the holy place from the most holy place. The most holy place was a place where only the high priest could enter into once a year. But Jesus tore that and now saying that whoever believes in me can have full access to the Father. And so our cry, our exclamation, our praise, our declaration of the word, our screaming out, our opening up some things, but we don't see it. Jesus was on the cross. He could not see into the temple. And sometimes we're thinking, oh, it's okay if I don't say anything. I'll be all right. Tomorrow will get better. And God is saying to you right now, you've got to open up your mouth, because you don't realize when you open your mouth, something happens spiritually. And it's not because you're a prophet or not, because you are a child of the Most High God. And when you open your mouth, something that you cannot see is happening. Amen? Don't let your 6 hour wear you out. Do something. But in these seasons of your life, when you're just living life and you feel darkness coming, you need to open up your mouth and say something. Amen? And that's not the time to say, I'm going to say it based upon how I grew up. That's not the time to start spitting out lyrics to a rap song. Or it's not the time to be singing some, they still call it R&B. Okay. Do y'all know what R&B stand for? Young people. Okay, all right. I'm just making sure, you know. All right. You not young. What I'm saying is, watch what you say, especially in the most intense moments of your life. Life and death is in the power of where? And those who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it. That's what the rest of that verse, we just read the first part all the time. So if I speak life, I'm gonna eat the fruit of life. If I speak death, I'm gonna eat the fruit of death. So Pastor Will, I can't be real in the midst of my moments. Yes, you can. My God, why have you forsaken me? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Oh, I feel the pain of being separated from my God, but I'm not going to stay here. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And so it's okay to, oh my gosh, I am so sick and tired of what is going on in my life. I got this going on, that going on, this going on, that going on. Da 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 da. But, Lord, you are good. And the first time you say it, you might be like, I don't really believe it. God, you're faithful. And the more you keep opening up your mouth, you are pulling the curtains back open. But if you sit there and do nothing, I might be going the wrong way, but you're just letting the curtains close. Is that the right way? I should have did like a thing. I should have had them like closing the curtains as I was preaching. Like opening the curtains, closing it. But I think y'all know what I'm saying. I hope you do.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in His love, and live out His purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.